Welcome to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. My name is Catherine Barkman, and I'm a soloist at San Francisco Ballet. This podcast series of Meet the Artist interviews is your chance to get to know us, the dancers, musicians, designers, and choreographers at SF Ballet, as we discuss our lives, the process in the studio, performances on stage, and more. Join us for Meet the Artist interviews live and in person in the Opera House before Friday and Sunday performances. Or tune in all season long to hear podcast recordings of San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist interviews. Enjoy!
My name is Molly Lubeau. I am the Associate Director of School Administration at San Francisco Ballet, and I'm so happy to be here today with Kevin Conley, a soloist with the company. I'll just read a little bit about his bio and then we'll jump right in. Kevin Conley was born in Bozeman, Montana, but soon after moved to Rhode Island, where he began his ballet training. Then he trained at Nemetmic Conservatory in Connecticut and the Herod Conservatory in Florida. Prior to joining San Francisco Ballet, he was a senior soloist at Tulsa Ballet. In 2018, he joined the Corto Ballet at San Francisco Ballet and was then promoted to soloist in 2019. Today, we'll be focusing on the roles of Puck and Oberon that Kevin performs in this production of A Midsummer's Night's Dream with choreography by George Balanchine and score by Felix Mendelssohn. So, Kevin, what was a defining moment for you to deciding to become a dancer?
I have a twin sister. And she loved ballet from a very young age. And I always tagged along with her in her waiting for her to finish classes. And the director of the company in Rhode Island really wanted boys in ballet because there weren't enough boys in ballet. So he kind of always pushed me to try and take classes. And that's kind of how I started to get into ballet was the director, Misha, which, funny enough, is really good friends with Sandy, who is from the Balanchine Trust that set Midsummer on this company. So they're really good friends. They know each other. So kind of like a full circle moment with that, yeah.
And would you say in all of that training that you've done in Connecticut and Florida and Rhode Island and Tulsa and now California, what was the thing that attracted you to San Francisco specifically?
I mean, the city is amazing, but I think what really attracted me, I did a few summer intensives here, and just watching the artists that were in this company, it just felt different than the things that I had seen before. And it kind of made it a goal to be in this company from when I was at that young age.
We're so glad that you did. Did you ever consider quitting throughout any of this time, like when you were training and being away from home?
Yeah, I actually quit for a couple of months. I had a hard time in middle school with some of the students in my grade, and that made me want to quit. So I did quit, and then Nutcracker came around, and my sister was doing it, and I wasn't, and it made me really miss it. And so I started back again. But I did quit for a little bit, and I actually think after I quit and came back is when I really realized it's something that I wanted to do. So.
What would you say or give any advice to anyone, or boys in particular, that might be in the same space that you were at that time and thinking about quitting?
You have to be yourself, which is really easy advice to give and extremely hard advice to take. When especially a boy in ballet is not something that's as accepted at that kind of age. And you know, everyone's path is different, and so I think for any young boy that wants to dance, to follow it, and there is an amazing group of people in this art form that support each other, and so it's just a small portion of the process that sometimes feels really tough, like it's going to be that way. But at the end, you develop this much larger family that you would never have had if you don't keep going and being yourself. So,
tell us about your experience from when the last time the company performed this production in March 2020. I'm sure some of you were there. And now.
I remember on opening night when all of the news came out that we were probably going to have to shut down. And I remember I was doing the Divertissement couples. And I remember before we went on stage thinking that this might be the last time that we danced for a while, which was a really weird feeling. And then we got really lucky and we got to perform for the video capture of a different cast. So a different cast, which I got to do Puck in, which I'm really happy I had that experience to do that then. But I would say it was very fresh because we had never done it. So it was kind of fun. It was weird because when we did it this time, it felt like we're putting it back together and that we had done it previously, but we had only done one show previously, you know? But it was fun to look back at the filming and you could see what my choices were back then. And now it's been fun to take that and do something a little bit different too.
What are some examples of some different choices that you've made when you were Puck the first time versus Puck this time?
I think I'm a little bit more free in some of the things that I do. I think the first time I did it, I really thought out every exact way I would act things. For each reaction that I was getting, I would act this way. And this time what's been fun is we actually been paired with a lot of different people in the cast. So you're not always with the same Hermia and Lysander and Helena and Demetrius. And you're not always with the same conductor as well. So the way that they conduct the music, the way that the other dancers act it, one of my favorite things this time as Puck has been to react towards those different phrasings and tempos, and then the way that the other dancers dance it too.
How would you describe Puck?
I mean, he's very mischievous. He likes to have fun. But I also think Puck he's purposely trying to make things a mess, but at the same time also thinks he's doing good for it. He's not putting pure turmoil into the scenario, you know? And then he's very devoted to Oberon. So I think no matter what Oberon asks him to do, he's going to do it, you know, without thinking. And maybe that's also kind of what gets him into trouble as well.
I think we all know people like that. So on some nights you're playing the role of Puck, who is very loyal to Oberon, and other nights you play Oberon. So what is that character like?
So Oberon's the king of the fairies, much more stoic, and I mean, he's a king, right? So, and I think he thinks that he's in charge of everything, right? He thinks he has all this power, and I think that's the biggest difference between Puck and Oberon, is portraying this this power that you have, that you can have anything happen from any little way, you know, and you have control of this forest. This forest is yours. When the lovers come in, you welcome them to your magical, you know, your forest. And I think having that command is kind of what helps portray the difference between Puck, which is this mischievous character, and then Oberon, who is the one kind of making the idea for the story to progress, but Puck is the one that's actually carrying it out and melding it all together.
And what helps you switch between the different characters, since you have to do them close back to back sometimes?
I actually think the choreography helps a lot, because Oberon, the scherzo, is quite technically challenging. So before the performance, you're usually focusing a little bit more on the ballet technical aspect a little bit. Making sure you're warm, you're on your leg, you know, all that kind of stuff, ready for all the fast beats and things. And Puck, there's a lot less technical aspect to the character, so it's kind of more just getting a lot of energy, because you need a lot of, like, it's in, the first act is over an hour, and you're in most of the first act just running around the stage with a really animated face. And so that takes, it's less technical, but there's much more energy you have to put in. So getting prepared for Puck, I like to put on some music or something and just kind of get in like a mischievous kind of feeling. Whereas Oberon, I'm much more focused and centered on the ballet technique of it.
And these sets and costumes are different from the 2020 production because these are borrowed from Paris Opera Ballet, and they have over 1 million Swarovski crystals. I heard that. I just want to say it again, 1 million crystals. And how does the costume help you get into character as well? It seems like there's a lot of intricacy.
Yeah, there's the costumes are amazing. The Puck costume has crystals all over it. It's kind of like this see-through mesh with a tiny little cape. And then for Oberon and Puck, they spray your hair gold. So it already makes you feel kind of like a fairy, you know, this special fairy with gold hair. And then you have these crowns and horns depending on which character you are. So I feel like the second you put on the costume, it does help make you feel the character, because Puck, you know, and green and horns, you know, it makes you want to be mischievous. And then Oberon, you have this almost ancient Roman looking with the wreath in your hair kind of stoicism that just you put it on and you know, you lift a little taller kind of thing.
You mentioned the scherzo, which is so fast and requires a lot of stamina, but it also has 25 children on stage at the same time because they are the bugs. How do they enhance your experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's, first of all, they're amazing, all those kids. I don't know if I would have been able to do 11 shows with a professional company like they have for this program. So they're amazing. And it's nice to see a younger generation so invested in dancing. And I think it's also important because they get to be in the rehearsals with us. They get to see us throughout the whole process. And hopefully some of them will eventually be in our spot and be dancing with this company or other companies around the world. So it's really important because not every ballet allows for that, for children to be so involved, other than maybe the Nutcracker. And even this has more dancing for them than the Nutcracker. So it's something really special for us, and I think for them as well.
I can confirm they do all want to be you and be in this company. They're adorable. And they range from ages 9 to 16. So, like, what was your first memory of performing when you were around that age?
Well, it would have been in school. So I remember actually not loving the performance aspect of dance at first because of nerves and, you know, you want to do your best. And I grew into it through high school and got more confident, I think. But now it's one of my favorite things is to become a character, especially on stage. I love doing triple bill programs and pieces that don't even have a story. But I think having the opportunity to become a character on stage and become something that you aren't, or maybe you are deep inside, but you can't really show, is something I love doing and something that you really don't get an opportunity to do if you're not a ballet dancer, you know? So because it's an art form that uses just your body, and I think sometimes emotions can only be portrayed by your body. And that's something that I love about the performance, because I think sometimes, even for myself, when I go and watch a ballet that I'm not in or my colleagues are in, and I can watch them, it's feeling that from the way that they're dancing that gives me something that is really special, and that's why I love ballet so much, or dance so much.
That's so kind. You mentioned the triple bell, and I know we have that coming up soon. How do you manage preparing for a story ballet, specifically a rom-com, versus a triple bell when you have rehearsals for everything all at the same time?
Yeah, it's tough. When I first joined the company, it feels like this whirlwind tornado of just stuff getting thrown at you. It's all new choreography. It's new rep that I've never done before. And it's tough because right now we're doing Midsummer, and we're also working now on the 5 ballets coming up next, the Triple Bill, as well as the new Carmen and the Broken Wings program. And so there is this balancing act of rehearsing the way that you need to rehearse to get it ready, but not destroying your body so that you're not capable of doing what you want to do at night on stage. And I think at first that balancing act is really tough and feels like a negative, but then now I kind of truly enjoy having rehearsals of different things before, because it doesn't give you too much time to overthink the show that you're gonna have that evening. And sometimes it's almost better to have less energy for a show, because sometimes you have too much energy, you're too excited, you're too amped up. And so I actually really enjoy focusing on something different during the day and then coming over here and doing something else at night, so.
Can you talk a little bit about the music in this particular ballet?
Yeah, so he wrote the music when he was quite young. And I think what's really cool about it is how well it describes the story. You almost don't need the dance to know exactly when there's a donkey doing hee-haw, hee-haw, you know. Dun-dun-dun. So I feel like it only helps with telling the story to hear that music and then dance to that music. It just makes it that much more clear, because it's tough to portray a Shakespearean play and a long Shakespearean play in such a condensed amount of time and through no words. And so I think you need to have some special music, whether it be Romeo and Juliet or Midsummer Night's Dream, to help portray it. And yeah, it's really fun music to dance to, so.
And since Shakespeare wrote this over 400 years ago, what do you think still makes it relevant today?
I mean, any comedy is kind of relevant, right? Everyone likes to laugh.
I hope so.
And it's like the original rom-com, so I think having these couples get mixed up, loving one another, and then having it all turn around, and then, you know, someone turns and has a donkey's head, and it's just throwing random things out there that you wouldn't expect. And I think a laugh is never gonna go away, you know? So having a comedy that you can relate to, no matter how old it is what brings audiences to wanna come see Midsummer.
If you've just joined us, we are here with soloist Kevin Conley, and we have a few minutes for questions. So if you have a clear, succinct question related to this topic, please raise your hand and I'll call on you, and then I'll repeat the question. The question is, how free are you to improvise as Puck, or is the choreography set?
Yeah, so the choreography itself is quite set, but the ability to act it the way you want is very free. I think it's one of, especially for Balanchine, it's probably one of the freest roles I've done, which makes it really fun because you really can play with it. And even from night to night, I do different things. You know, sometimes I'll be in the wings before I come out, and I'll be like, ooh, what if I tried this? This sounds seems like it would be kind of fun to do, and I'll try it, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but you don't get the opportunity to do that with a lot of roles. And so for Puck especially, it is really fun to have the ability to kind of play around. And Sandy, the one that set it on this company, she'll come back and she'll be like, oh, you know, I saw you did this little different thing here. It's fun to see you playing with the character. So it is special in that way, yeah.
When did you first move away, and what was your experience like with your training moving away from home?
So I was 14 when I moved away, and my family's from Rhode Island, and Nutmeg Conservatory is in Connecticut, so it wasn't too far away, but I did board there. And I think for me, because I had a hard time in middle school, and I moved away for high school, that's kind of when I fell in love with ballet, because I also think it was the people at the school and the other artists that I was around kind of made me feel like I wasn't alone when I felt like I was in middle school. So it was tough, and then moving to the Herod Conservatory in Florida, which was further away, it was tough to grow up without being close to my family, but I also feel like having that community and the dancers really helped me become the person that I am today as well. So,
was there any particular Oberon solo from the past that inspired you?
Honestly, I think anyone that does it, it's inspirational, because it's a pretty tough thing to dance, and so anyone that makes it through and does it well, it's inspiring. And it's, everyone dances it so differently. This time, it's Wei, Esteban, and I, and I think the three of us are very different dancers. So it's fun to see how the two of them play around with it and do it differently, and that's really inspiring, yeah.
She asked if you have any advice for young dancers.
I just say give all the energy and work that you can, but do it for yourself. You know, when I was young, I used to slack off a little bit in classes and stuff just because I felt like the teacher's telling me to do that just because they're telling me to do that, rather than they're telling me to do that because they're trying to help me. And so I think one of the best things you can do is just to always try and be learning and trust yourself and continue to just be better yourself. And if someone ever does give you corrections, because it happens all the time as a dancer, just know that they're giving you the corrections to help you build and to learn. And that's probably one of the biggest lessons I had to learn when I was young.
The question is, what are your most favorite ballet?
I loved doing Romeo and Juliet when I was younger in Tulsa. I felt like being Romeo was such a fun character, especially when I was younger, because Romeo is a younger character. So being able to become that character and act it in a way that I think I wouldn't anymore, I think is kind of special. And I think that's the beauty of doing things in your career at different points in your career, is because sometimes when you're 20, you think you're doing the most amazing thing, and then, you know, you're 30 and you look back and you say, oh, I wouldn't have made any of those choices. But it's still fun to see those choices because they're not bad, they're just different. So I think for me, Romeo and Juliet was a lot of fun. I don't know if I have a ballet that I hate or dislike. I will say it's always challenging mentally when there's a ballet that's extremely tiring, just because you have to push past that mental aspect of I'm going to be dead by the end of this and it's going to be painful. And so those are always, for me, those are always challenging, but then once you get through it, it can be the most rewarding. So it's, you know, love-hate relationship with that, but...
And we'll end on that. Thank you so much, Kevin. And we hope to see you back in the Opera House soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about SF Ballet or to attend in-person Meet the Artist interviews and performances, visit sfballet.org. See you at the ballet.